Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Michael, I want to start with you. Of course, 2022 is the year a lot of folks are asking, is this the year that Roe goes? What is Pennsylvania doing in preparing for that very possibility?
Well, it's going to be a volatile year, no question about it, because it's an election year, and that Dobbs decision coming down from the Supreme Court is going to have an impact on elections. But we also have a case coming down in Pennsylvania from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that's due around the same time, sometime in the spring or summer, that could take us in the opposite direction. So we at Pennsylvania Family and pro-life groups across the state are preparing with a constitutional amendment to protect life in Pennsylvania and to allow for continued legislation in Pennsylvania to protect unborn life and protect their mothers. So it's going to be a volatile time, and we have to, as a pro-life movement, roll up our sleeves and really get to work.
Yeah, and Jason, a lot of folks, a lot of pro-lifers in New York are concerned that New York State could become the abortion tourism capital of America if the Supreme Court upholds Mississippi's abortion law, that women will flock to New York to get abortions. Is that a real possibility?
Oh, I think it's definitely a possibility. In fact, I think you'll see a push from state government to create new funding to pay for women to come here to receive their abortions, for their hotel stays, for their meals and travel expenses. I think you're going to see an expansion of abortion funding coming from New York State. We've got our work cut out for us here in the Empire State.
Yeah, Michael, let's talk COVID for just a bit. We've seen the numbers go in the wrong direction for quite a while in Pennsylvania. A number of schools have returned to Zoom school. Danville, Pennsylvania, the most recent. Harrisburg's done the same. The state's largest teachers union wants a two-week pause on in-person learning. How much pressure is there to return to Zoom school?
Well, there is a lot of pressure, and the teachers union has been pushing on it, and we see the increases in the rates. But it's really a tragedy for children. When the notion of a two-week pause is brought up, a lot of people remember 2 weeks to stop the spread or to flatten the curve. Mm. And they're like, oh, you know, what's really going to happen? And the tragedy of Zoom education and things is really impacting children in a very negative way. The mental health ramifications are significant. So we're hoping that they don't move in that direction and that in-person learning, whenever possible, is going to be the choice in school districts across Pennsylvania.
Jason, Governor Hochul making New York the first state in the country to require booster shots for healthcare workers. Why is she doing this when hospitals are already so stressed out with a worker shortage?
I have no idea, Bob. You know, I mean,
easy answer, yeah.
Yeah, that's ultimately what it comes down to. I have no idea, because even healthcare administrators at various hospitals like U of R are raising concerns. And even if it's only another 1 or 2% of medical personnel who choose not to receive the booster and to leave the medical field, that's going to be devastating to the healthcare industry across our state. So I have no idea why Governor Hochul is asking for this at this particular time.
Michael, this is an issue that's near and dear to your heart, and just growing outrage and frustration in women's sports over the emergence of the transgender athlete. How necessary is the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, and where is that right now in the state legislature?
Well, it's absolutely necessary if those who support girls and women's sports, what we're seeing with this Leah Thomas, formerly Will Thomas, the man who identifies as a woman swimming on the University of Pennsylvania swim team, is that it basically eliminates the opportunity for women to really advance in sports. If common sense prevails, we do think that we can get this bill passed. Now, it may take until we have a new governor in Pennsylvania, because Governor Wolf is not inclined to sign that kind of legislation.
Yeah. Jason, speaking of sports, New York last week, this is a huge story, I think, not getting nearly enough attention, green lighting mobile sports betting. From your own smartphone now, it is possible. How is this going to exacerbate gambling addiction in the Empire State?
I think it's going to be rampant. You know, the notion that you could go to a casino and gamble was one thing, and we're opposed to that as well, frankly. But to now be able to do it from your couch, just the whole anonymity of it, the availability of it, gambling addiction is going to go off the charts.
Yeah.
And let me just add to that, this is clearly an unconstitutional measure. This is something that should not have happened. The legislature has done it contrary to the Constitution, and I'm telling you, it just should not have happened, but it has, and here we are.
Do we have enough networks in place? I know that, you know, with FanDuel, Caesars, everywhere, wherever you see it now, it's on TV all the time. Is New York able to accommodate all the problem gambling that is going to happen because of mobile sports betting?
No, we're not. And, you know, in addition to that, we mentioned the anonymity and availability of it. Frankly, we're not going to know. I mean, these are people that are going to be having an addiction sitting on the couch in their living room. It's not going to be the type of situation where you can ID these people that are entering various facilities.
Michael, State House voting for new-look congressional maps this week. The big question is, in New York State, it's pretty much the state legislature that's going to draw the map. And they're going to make it so it favors Democrats. In Pennsylvania, how likely is the state Supreme Court going to be the final arbiter in this?
Well, since we were just talking about betting and wagering, I think you could wager that the Supreme Court is going to get involved in this, because with the vote that has come from the House of Representatives on this issue and from the legislature, they have to come to an agreement with Governor Wolf, and they're not going to come to an agreement in all likelihood, which means it lands in the courts. And this Pennsylvania Supreme Court has proven its willingness to redraw maps, and most famously when they redrew the congressional maps in 2018, some 7 years after those districts had initially been drawn.
Yeah. In New York, we mentioned, Jason, it looks like this one's going to go to the state legislature for the final lines. They've got one more heave-ho, but it's a Hail Mary at best. Does redistricting, in your opinion, keep one-party rule in place in New York?
Well, it appears it's going to be. You know, you mentioned it's got one more crack with the Independent Redistricting Commission, but I think it's by design that it's going to fail, and it will come back to the super Democratic majorities in the legislature to approve the maps, and they will draw the lines in the Senate and the Assembly to favor the Democratic Party. That being said, there's a tremendous pushback this year, and I think there could very well be some Republican and conservative gains across the state, despite the gerrymandering that's about to occur.
Yeah, Michael, I know when it comes to the lieutenant governor's race, there's a guy you like, Jeff Colmey. We all like him. Mm-hmm. Great guy. Hope he does well. He announced his campaign this week. But when it comes to the 15 or so, at last check, 15 gubernatorial candidates in the Republican field, do any stand out as a worthy successor to Tom Wolf?
Everyone stands out as a worthy successor to Tom Wolf, given what the way he has governed. So I'm waiting a little bit for the field to winnow a little bit when petitions have to be turned in and those sorts of things. So I could name names at this point, but some of them are not going to end up on the ballot, I don't think. So at this stage, we're still vetting the candidates and taking a look, because it's vitally important for those who are concerned about the future of Pennsylvania that whoever that candidate is be a viable candidate when going into the fall to go up against the Democrat.
Real quick follow-up, Dr. Oz, how does he stack up, in your opinion, in the Senate race?
Well, he's spending a lot of money. He has a lot of money, but, you know, I think Pennsylvanians are kind of having their eyes open to him. He, for example, was a strong proponent of the whole notion of providing drugs to promote transgenderism in his practice and those sorts of things. So I think when Republican voters and conservative voters become aware of those sorts of things, I'm not sure what kind of traction he'll get.
Yeah, of course, a big story nationwide this week. Jason, was the president's call for voting reforms, wants to nuke the filibuster in the U.S. Senate to get that done. But there was a huge story in New York State, out of New York City this week, an effort to allow, I believe it's up to 800,000 illegal immigrants to vote in local elections. How is this legal?
Well, I don't think it is. I think state election law is pretty clear that you have to be a citizen of the state to vote in any election. And I think that's why the Republicans and a number of other conservative-minded individuals in the state are heading to court to shut this down. Again, I just think it violates state law. I think it's an unconstitutional measure, and hopefully the courts will see it the same way.
Yeah, they say it's local elections, but how are you going to limit this so that they could not participate in statewide or even national presidential elections?
And regardless of whether it's local or national, you know, this is a right to the American citizenry, and essentially this is an effort to drown out the voice of the American voter by those who are not citizens of this state and of this country.
All right, that'll have to be the last word this week, but hey, next Friday, National March for Life in Washington, D.C. Michael, there's information on your website if you want to catch a bus to D.C. Where can folks go and learn more?
PAFamily.org.
And lots to discuss in New York State, whether it's the state of the budget speech or other items that we weren't able to discuss today. Jason, you've got a great website as well. Where can folks find you?
AlbanyUpdate.com.